I want you to turn back with me as I meditate on the text that I shared earlier with you. As the season is upon us, it's nothing to do with the nativity scene, but it is a very famous passage of scripture that we've read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Why the redundancy in this verse? Why not whatsoever things are true, honest, just, lovely? Think of these things. Why the redundancy again? But because God is redundant, He wants us to get these things in our heads and our minds. The theme of the book, as I've said before, is the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we base this on the frequency of the usage of the word joy or rejoice. And we come to a verse of scripture that shows some things that would deprive us from the joy of Christ. And that the things we dwell on and think about. Sometimes the weeks and the days may be very difficult because we're thinking about the problems in the ministry. And it deprives us from the joy. And sometimes you and I can be the source of depriving others from their joy in your lack of obedience, in your lack of commitment. It deprives others from their joy. But the command stands in Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, if there be any virtue, to be any praise, think on these things. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. And we can ponder that. The joy of Christ can be eroded or enhanced by the things that we dwell on, that we think about. Proverbs 23, 6 and 7 says, eat not the bread of him. Somebody invite you to their house. Be careful. Eat not the bread of him that have an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. But as I was saying, most of what we think about will tell us who we are. And this is very awesome. Most of what you and I think about is what we are. And we should be careful. And the apostle directs the people of God to hold some thoughts. And this is the area that Christians struggle with the most, even pastors, when we sit and talk. When considering Philippians 4 and verse 8, many of us may be inclined to think that this is a list of 8 different things, each one with its own attribute. But when this verse is compared with other parts of the Bible, this verse is only speaking about one thing, the Word of God, with its many virtues. The Word of God can be looked upon in two ways. One, Jesus Christ is the Word. And when you look at this verse, you're looking at Him. Second, the Holy Scriptures is the word also. This is what Paul in Philippians 4:8 is calling you and me to think about. 2 Peter 1:3 says the Lord has given us exceeding great and precious promises that we may be escape the pollutions of this world and be partakers of his divine nature. The first thought to consider from this meditation is the exhortation to Christians in verse 8. It is an exhortation to Christians, to believers, that the apostle is instructing. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. This is not a list of many things when compared with the Bible, especially Psalm 19, you turn there with me, verses 7, quickly, through 9. Psalm 19, verse 7 through 9. It is the word of God that is in view. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Two words you find here describing the word of God that is found in Philippians 4, verse 8. In coming to conclusions in Bible study, you must find support in the rest of the Bible, lest you are teaching error. The apostle is calling us to think about the word of God, especially in times of crisis. It's hard, very hard. And you have to train yourself to think on these things. Now, some of us think about everything during the course of the week and don't think about the word of God. And if you're thinking about the word of God, you would remember what your duty is based on that word. I think about the word of God every day. And if you're thinking about the word of God, you will think about the people of God. These words from the psalmist describes the word of God, the testimony of the Lord, the law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord is pure, the fear of the Lord, and the judgments of the Lord are found in the word of God. You think about these things, think about his judgments, about his fear, about his testimonies. Read them, what he said to men and women of old. Paul also said in Romans 7, verse 12, in making a conclusion, he says, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Same words, just and good, Paul uses in his conclusion in Romans 7, when he speaks about the law and how he was held captive by sin. We can link all of these words the apostle is speaking of with other parts of the Bible. I cannot list all the places where we find the word of God is good and honest and pure, but I just give you one. Apostle goes on to say in verse 8, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul says, whatever things are lovely. We can compare the word lovely with what is said in Song of Solomon, that little book that is after Ecclesiastes, where we read His mouth is more sweet. The Song of Solomon is an amazing book. It's something like a woman speaking about her husband, or her husband speaking about his wife. You see, her breasts are lovely. Her lips are this, you know. Yeah, her thighs are this. Because he's appealing to his wife. And by the way, a man would have these feelings for one woman, not two. His wife. And Song of Solomon, you know, Ramon had a discussion about that. Speaking about that. And it's really speaking about Christ and his church and how he approaches his church with that kind of intimacy. So when you read Song of Solomon, don't chuckle. There's nothing to chuckle about. It's speaking about the relationship between Christ and his church in the form of the Shulamite woman in Song of Solomon. But it says his mouth is more sweet. Yeah. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. And this is my friend. O daughters of Jerusalem. This most likely, maybe it was Solomon who penned these words. I'm not sure. Paul went on to say, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Virtue comes from the Lord Jesus. Remember Peter, in describing the gifts of the Holy Spirit, refer to us to add to your faith virtue. Virtue, quality of the Holy Spirit. Virtuous woman, Proverbs 31. Virtuous woman, again, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one thing Paul is exhorting Christians to think about when seeking direction in life. Where do you go? When seeking a new job, where do you go? To your friend? Most of the time, they're going to misdirect you. You can't go wrong following the scriptures. Not many friends is going to point you to the scriptures. You go to the word, Psalm 119, 5 and 6. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. The shame that the psalmist is talking about in Psalm 119 is the shame of judgment on the last day. Good many, when they're seeking direction in life, in crucial areas, never confide in those who may direct them to the scriptures. Look at it carefully. You will never see them coming to a pastoral figure or a person, for that matter, who may be assumed to be spiritual. Never come to that person. We are very clever in avoiding such ones. It's like King Ahab. You remember him? King of Judah, Jehoshaphat, I think it was. Yes, said, is there not still a prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire? Ahab responded. The king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there's still one man, Micaiah, the son of Imla, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. He was a true prophet, true man of God. And the king of Israel said, I hate him, because he never have anything good to say. Ahab ended up losing his life. And Jehoshaphat almost lost his life. Even though he gave him direction, Ahab, he still went along with him. Some of us are like that. Some of us can get direction but still follow. Wickedness. And these are lessons Ahab said, I hate him because he doesn't prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And maybe you need to hear about the evil. Maybe you need to hear about the consequence of unfaithfulness. And that's why people in the church, when making decisions in crucial areas of their lives, would never, ever come to a minister or a spiritual person because they hate them. They hate their counsel. But Paul tells us, think of these things. It's an exhortation to Christians. Second, it's a moral to exemplify. It is not only the right thinking that will enhance the joy of the Christian, the joy of the Lord Jesus, but the right fellowship. The Apostle Paul sets up himself as an example. Look at verse 9. He says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them. He set it up himself to the Philippians, Miguel, as an example. And men of God, they're not perfect men. By no means, they have the issues. If you look at men of God long enough, you might see areas in their lives that you shouldn't mimic. But men of God should be able to say this. And it is an awesome thing to come before people and can't say, follow the direction I'm going. I hear this all the time from them guys in Zimbabwe, like, I don't know, Moses, Desire, Shadamba. Pastor, you have shown us a good example. Many times, I don't even have to repeat it in writing. Pastor, you have shown us a good example. What if I show you a good example? Why don't you live it? I've shown you men here a good example. I've shown this church a good example by the grace of God. I've shown my wife a good example. And she cannot say anything about me or Dion for that matter that I misled them spiritually. Can I say this about all of you? I tried. I cut off my nose to spoil my face so that Christ would not be blasphemed in my life and my family. Some of you men are not listening. Not listening. You're not coming around. The worst thing to do is to have the pastor here Sunday morning for a meditation. Because he's going to make applications based on what he sees in his church. And any preacher, if he's not doing that, is not preaching. He's just talking. Word of God is three ways. Jeremiah, you caused them, you read the word distinctly, they make the sense of it, and they cause the people to understand. Three ways of bringing the gospel. If you're not doing this, you're not following Jeremiah chapter 7. A model to exemplify, the Apostle Paul. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, keep in your head. Do. We can think on the word of God all we want, but never accomplish the will of God in our lives in doing, exemplifying, putting it into practice. Hearers of the word, not doers. Verse said, those things which you have both learned. Where do Christians get learning? Well, they get learning from the scriptures. Where do we learn of Paul? In the scriptures. The verse says, those things which you have both learned and heard, they go together. We should be like the Bereans. We should not be like those that the apostles speak about who had a form of godliness. 2 Timothy 3, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, but you only could come to the knowledge of the truth when you are making applications of that knowledge. We apply what we learn. We do it. When I talk about sacrifice, you make sacrifices. You get up, what I was saying, 6 o'clock in the morning. Get up out of that warm bed. Put on your stocking hat. Your sweats. You serve God. It's a practical way. And as I said, you teach your wife to follow. Because Marcel doesn't have an option when I am called to serve. He said, but you're rough. No. After a period in time, God gave the wife of the husband the heart to do his will. That's how you know when you're called to the ministry. These workshop meditations should be helpful. And I don't want to put myself on a pedestal, but some of the applications I make about my life personally ought to be made to this church. You're looking at a big sinner, maybe the biggest sinner in here. But thank God for his grace in bringing conversion. In a life I was lost. Brother Depple. Saturday night crowd. Hanging out with. The Lord changed that. The Word of God. Second word, and receive. Possibly speaking about the Word of God. Like the Thessalonians, who became followers of us and of the Lord, having received, a passive word, paralamano. It has a prefix. It means that someone was alongside. That's what a para is. Someone was alongside, enabling you to receive the word of God. And that someone, by the way, is the Paracletus. Having received the word of God with much affliction, with joy, here's the word again, of the Holy Ghost. Though the apostle is a good model to exemplify, and he is a good one, Paul is not the ultimate model. Paul was only able to say this because he was exemplifying Christ. Don't think that Paul was a super duper Christian more than me and you. Paul put himself on the line and says, follow me. What you see in me, do. And you need to say that. But you can't. Because we always are in a position that we have to be corrected. When are we going to stop being corrected and start correcting others? But Paul is not the supreme. Those things you have seen and learned of our Lord Jesus Christ are worthy of practicing. They are worthy of praise. His faithfulness, his love for his people, his sacrifice to his people. He is the one that Paul is pointing us to. 1 John 2, 5 and 6. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. I never see Jesus smoking a cigarette yet in the Bible. or in a dance hall. We walk as you walk. Exhortation to Christians, what is it that occupied your thought pattern most? That is what will determine your joy or your lack of joy. Paul says, think on these things, that which is worthy of. You know, sometimes some things you just have to dismiss. What's going on in Zimbabwe, if you dwell on those things, you won't be able to preach. What model are you seeking to exemplify? The basketball stars, you know, sometimes when you look at them, you know, like Friday night, you look at their body and you can't even distinguish between their body and all these terrible markings on them. But thank God one or two guys I see don't have them. But by and large, what is this? What is this? Is this the kind of people you're going to train your son to exemplify? This other one, Judge, almost $500 million to hit a baseball over the fence. Where is our values? You think I can watch that? All of that money he's sticking out for to hit a baseball down the left field? I ain't bothering to watch these people, man. People in Africa starving. And people paying this kind of money. Let's get our values correct, brethren. I'm watching them. No, I would not waste time. God would be very displeased. Them is the gods today. You look at him, full of pride, sticking out. 380 million. Sticking out. Who is the highest bidder? I'll work for. Well, I need to bid too. Because I'm preaching the gospel. I'm talking about which model are you exemplifying? You can't even watch a baseball game. It should be the Savior that took the load of our sins. Last point for the morning, brethren. Gracious fruit experience. Seen in the last line of verse 9. The God of peace shall be with you. The gracious fruit. I'll be talking about the graces this morning. Same line. Second time the apostle made this promise to us in verse 6 and 7, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, here he says the God of peace, and the next text, but here he says the God, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see the end result, the fruit experience. It's God's peace. And, you know, we're not going to have God's peace when our thoughts are running wild about all of these other things. You're not going to have God's peace, sister. You're not going to have it. But when you think of his promises, his love, his second coming, changing our bodies, perfect bodies, you know, look at what pleased him. You know, for without faith, it's impossible to please him. You have faith. When you look at these things, joy, the result. Peace of God can only be known when a person knows God, knows the Savior. To know God is to know the Word of God. You can't know God without the Word of God that tells us the will of God. It is God's word that tells us the will of God. All kinds of people claim to know God, but they do not have any ambition to listen to his word. How are they going to know the will of God? Paul calls this exhortation for us to consider. What is our thought pattern? Calls us to follow an example. Someone to exemplify Christ. Calls us to experience this peace, a passive understanding. This is what, as far as we will go today, pray the Lord will incline your heart to think about the scriptures. When you leave here, go over what you have heard, what you have learned, but don't forget the latter part. Do. May the Lord bless you. Our Father, we give you thanks for the hour and for the people of the hour. We ask that as we will proceed, that you will be gracious. In Jesus' name, amen.